I'm Kimberly Amici. Welcome to the Build Your Best Family podcast. This is a practical show to help you imagine, plan, and build your best family. We believe that the secret to having a happy family is not being perfect, but having purpose. Each week, I'll be here sharing with you lessons I've learned, conversations I've had that will equip you to create new habits, challenge mindsets, and build relationships that will allow your family to thrive. Today on the podcast, we are talking about dogs. Even though I don't have a dog, I know that for many, dogs are an integral part of family life. Dogs are a huge responsibility, but a relationship with them can truly be rewarding. This week on the podcast, I am talking with Garrett Wing. He is a former law enforcement canine handler and the founder of American Standard Dog Training. We discuss the impact of a well-trained dog on families, key considerations for choosing the right pet, and fundamental principles for starting dog training. Garrett provides valuable insights as he addresses common misconceptions about dog behavior and the role of consistency in training, which is more than a one-and-done deal. Welcome, Garrett. It is incredible to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, a question that we ask all of our guests is, what is your family known for?
Sure. So lately, my family is known for basically being the dog family. My wife and my two daughters, Ari and Alora, who are 7 and 5, we're dog people. We raise and train dogs for our customers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's exciting. So is the whole family's in on it?
Yeah. And it's actually how me and my wife kind of met or fell in love was our love of dogs. Uh-huh. And then that's transitioned over the years into what we are now. And yeah, the whole family's involved. The wife's really great at, you know, washing them and feeding them. And the kids are great at helping me train and walk them and pick up poop.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love that. I love the idea of a family business. I'm priming my kids. I'm like, what are you going to do? We'd love to do it together.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So talk a little bit about, I mean, you shared a little bit about how it's a family thing, but let's talk about your transition from being in law enforcement and being a canine handler to becoming an online dog trainer. So what motivated you to make this shift and what did that look like?
Sure. So family was the biggest push for that. And ultimately what ended up happening is it was a money issue, which can be a family issue, if you will. And my oldest daughter was around 2. My youngest daughter was just born, and we were in front of my home in South Florida, a pretty modest home in South Florida. It was nice. It was a small 3-2. I was a police lieutenant at the time. We had made a decision a couple years earlier that my wife would be a stay-at-home mom. We thought that would be best for the kids. But very long story short, I was looking at the bank account, and I was looking at the bills that were coming in, and I said to my wife, we're not making next month's mortgage. It's just not going to happen. And it was a little stressful, but I'm very resilient in the sense of, it was stressful, but I knew there's a way out of it. One of the options we have is in the police world, or at least in larger agencies like the one I worked for, is that we can work extra duty jobs. I was very familiar with it because my entire family, my mother, my father, my stepmother, and my stepfather were all police officers. And so I was very familiar with working those extra jobs, which you do security and you work like at different events and you can make extra money. The problem is that's the kind of environment I grew up in where my parents were always picking up extra duty jobs. So my father was working 68 hours a week. I love my father, fantastic father. I wouldn't ever want to replace him, but that was the only downfall of us growing up, is he was constantly out of the house working. And they were just like ships passing each other in the night between my mom and my father going into work their different shifts to make the extra money to afford, again, another modest living with me and my 3 brothers. So. Here we are. The cycle repeats itself. I have kids and I'm like, this is not what I want for my children. I have no problem doing it. I said, there's got to be a better way. And very long story short, with my background in police canine work, and I had already started a small company that wasn't bringing a lot of money, but we were training other police canine handlers across the country how to perform their jobs better. Again, it doesn't pay well and I'm traveling, so that's not solving that problem. I said, what is it? What is something I can do outside of just putting in more hours at work, where the whole purpose being make more money, but do it at home and make it a family type business. And it had been staring me in the face probably for a couple of years, and that's to train people's pet dogs. Now, I didn't want to water down my brand being a real high speed police canine handler training somebody's poodle, but push came to shove. And I said, what's it going to hurt? Let's take one dog. And that's all she wrote. I literally took one dog, and it's been nonstop since then as far as compounding and all word of mouth, because we did such a great job. because we poured our heart and soul into it as we do with everything. And it's literally just turned into what you see before you now, just a booming business. And I wouldn't change anything for the world, but that was the impetus, was just, how can I make more money yet stay at home?
Yeah. That's an incredible story. Cause you know, I am a big fan about understanding what your family's values are and understanding what you want your family to be known for and what you want your family to life to look like, and then designing that life. And I feel like understanding, like what you did, is knowing what you wanted for family life gave you the motivation and the creativity you needed to take your skills and your talents and create the life that you wanted for your family. And I think that all too often we just assume that there are no options, but there are. And your story is a great example of that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So owning a dog can have a significant impact on family. So let's talk about, this is a two-part question. Let's talk about how well-trained dogs contribute positively to the family dynamic. And then also let's talk about some of those common challenges a little bit after that.
Yeah. So killer question. We've said this in the past. I'll say it always. There is nothing more rewarding than coming home to a well-trained dog. And whether that's going for a walk or just, man, dogs just do something that no other animal can do. It's just bring that excitement, that joy, no matter if you're having a great day or a horrible day, they're there to share it with you. But coming home to an out of control, untrained dog can be, that's the last thing you need on an already stressful day. You could be having an amazing day and your day can be ruined as soon as you come home and you walk in the door and something's been destroyed, chewed up. There's poop and pee all over the place. You know, it can just add so much stress. And that's how these dogs end up in shelters, because of the barking, the biting, the potty training issues, the chewing. Mm-hmm. Nothing's worse than coming home to an untrained dog. And so what was the second part to your question?
So what are the common challenges that families face when integrating the new dog into their life? I mean, we know all the good stuff, but that's not just
those would be the ones. Potty training is probably the biggest one. Potty training can be a nightmare. Mm-hmm. When you don't get a handle on that early, we have a system in place where we can get puppies potty trained in as little as 48 hours. And once that's out of the way, oh man, it's so much smooth sailing. But it's not sustainable to come home every day to pee or poop everywhere. And then you got to rip up the carpet, and it's just never ending. And if you can't get a handle on that, then it's just a downward spiral. So it's very important we get that knocked out. And then the next thing would be just the basic manners, jumping, pulling on the leash, the biting. We deal with that a lot, the puppy biting. A lot of our members in our community talk about that and different ways to solve it. Mm-hmm. Because it's not sustainable either when you're trying to incorporate that young puppy into your home. And maybe you had a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old, and the puppy thinks its job basically is to chase down and herd your children and bite them. And those puppy teeth are sharp. And so they cause a lot of damage. And then it kind of traumatizes the kids, because you're trying to make this an enjoyable experience.
Right.
Now they're terrified of the puppy that's constantly biting them. Now the puppy doesn't mean harm. It's just trying to play. It doesn't know its own strength. So that's another thing that we have to get knocked out early. And we have a way, again, we have some systems in place that you can fix that in like 5 minutes and then move on to the next thing, the more fun stuff. So the chewing, the potty training, crate training is very important too. A little controversial. A lot of folks don't want to crate train their dogs, but it's our opinion that you can't properly raise and train a puppy without a little bit of crate training. You need it. It's good for them. So we can go into that further if you want. But
Yeah, I'm going to circle back to some of these, and you can give us some tips that our listeners can implement pretty quickly. But I do want to ask you, like, what should potential dog owners be considering when it comes time to choose a dog? Breed, size, lifestyle, what are the things that we should be considering?
Yeah, love this question, because I don't think anybody does make that consideration, right? They walk into the pet store, or they just kind of go off on a whim, and I can appreciate that. But then reality sets in. The dog's shedding. The dog's huge. The expense associated with dogs, whether it's, you know, just insurance, the food, the vet bills can be very expensive. And then when they start, God forbid, start chewing up your furniture, what that looks like as far as an expense. But I think also the time commitment. These puppies and dogs don't raise and train themselves. So that is an essential component. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a trainer, but we're in business because of that. Because there's folks out there buying puppies, and then they realize, like, wow, what did I get myself into? And I think one of the big, when we're speaking about breeds where people go really wrong, one of the top breeds that people have been buying in the last, let's say, 5 to 7 years is the Belgian Malinois. There's this misconception, and for those who don't know what that is, it's what we're using a lot in police and military applications. So they see them on the TV, and they see these amazing videos of these dogs performing incredible stunts of obedience and acrobatics and bite work, and they go, that's what I want. And they think that this dog comes out of the box like that, and it doesn't. These dogs are crazy. We often classify it as German Shepherds on crack or German Shepherds on too much espresso. They are a lot of dog, and they do not come pre-trained. They are wild, and it takes an incredible amount of patience, skill, and time and energy to control all that horsepower. So what folks need to really consider is look at your lifestyle, which was actually in your question. Don't just go for the latest fad. Don't just go for the dog that the police and military use. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a great dog for you in your suburban neighborhood. It couldn't be a great dog, but it also might be your worst nightmare. Those dogs require a ton of your time and energy. But when we speak about lifestyle, I think that's maybe where we could focus in on. Are you the type of family that goes on 6-mile hikes on the weekend? Yeah, maybe you want to get a Belgian Malinois. They got the energy for that. Or are you the family that, like, over the weekend, you're just going to do the barbecue, hang out in the pool, and maybe watch Netflix with the whole family on the couch? Then you might want to consider something like an English Mastiff. It's a big dog, big and cuddly, but it doesn't require a lot of work in the sense of, like, they just want to – it requires work just to get them to go for a walk. But you're 2 minutes down the road, they're ready to go back in where the air conditioning is. That might be more to your lifestyle. So I think a lot of it, if I could sum it to one word, energy. A lot of these dogs have different levels of energy. And then we can dive in the details too. One of the number one choices for folks is like a golden retriever or a Labrador. It's like America's golden child. And I have nothing bad to say about any of those dogs. Great dogs. But we also want to think about, even if you get a Labrador, where are you getting that Labrador from and what's the genetics of it? Meaning you could have working or field Labradors, which are raised or bred and raised to go hunting. That's not what you want in your household. The dogs have, they just like the Energizer Bunny, they won't turn off. You want to get one more of like what we might call a pet grade, relaxed, right? And that you're going to find the same no matter what breed you choose. Even if you get a Belgian Malinois, they do come in different grades, if you will, like high speed 1200 horsepower engines, or you can get ones that are a little more chill. So looking at that, looking at the breeder you're getting them from and the parents of the dogs, the puppies that you're getting, what are they like? Meet those parents, see what their personality is like, because it's a pretty good chance what you see is what you're going to get. The apple does not fall far from the tree in that sense.
And are there dogs that are more expensive to keep than others? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe a little bit in terms of just size. The bigger the dog, they're going to eat more and that gets expensive, especially if you're going to feed your dog raw. That is going to get very expensive very quickly. But man, just like everything, inflation, we're talking about for just a decent quality type of dog food, $110 a bag. If you have an English Mastiff, it might be going through two or three of those bags a month. That's that's an expense. That's a car payment for just your dog's kibble. But I think grooming is a big one, too. A lot of folks are getting into the doodles now, and they require a lot of grooming, and grooming is expensive. So, and training. I don't care what breed you get. Training can be expensive. And with training, you get what you pay for, usually, but not always. But the cheap group classes at your nearest pet store, a complete waste of your money, in my opinion, a complete waste of your money. And Well, we can get into that later, but you have to consider the cost of the training, whether you're going to do it yourself or you're going to hire someone to do it for you or some type of combination. Expect to spend $2,000 to $3,000 or more. Most board and train programs, by the way, just to put it in perspective, because folks, I don't think really know, the average cost for a board and train program across the U.S. is $1,000 per week. And I wouldn't waste my time sending my dog to a board and train program if it wasn't a 4 to 6 week program. Those 2 week board and train programs, we call the McDonald's of dog training, don't do it. It's a waste of your money. It's not good for your dog. But even then, that's $2,500 on average for the cheap version. Usually you're looking at spending $4,000 to $6,000 or more for a quality board and train program. So just again, And that's more than usually for a premium puppy. For a pick of the litter, you're looking around $3,500, depending upon the breed. It could be up to $5,000 or $6,000. Mm-hmm. So it's a considerable cost most folks aren't thinking of. By the way, you could always adopt. You don't save the money there, but now you definitely have to invest in training, because those dogs are often in those shelters for a reason. Not to say they can't make great dogs, but you're gonna have to put in a little extra work to get rid of whatever bad habits put them in the shelter to begin with.
Yeah, I think it's good to understand these things. And I think it's good for us to even relay this information to our kids, because our kids are usually the ones who always say, you know, they want the dog, they promise to take care of it. But I mean, I think it's important to have these candid conversations with our kids that really know what trade-offs there are, from no matter what decision we make as a family, and to help them understand, hey, this is what we're choosing to do, and we have the budget for this, or this is what we're not going to do that right now because we need to save the money. And I think that that's important to have a realistic expectation of what it takes so that we are taking the best care we can of these dogs.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think just to surmise it, I think dogs can make a great addition to the family, a great addition, like nothing else, with the memories and just... Mm-hmm. Nothing, a dog, just the funniest things that happen around our house sometimes revolve around the dog, whether it's because it's laying on the couch and just farted in the kid's face, which is hysterical. It is what they do, right? Mm. Or they're just snuggling up. And we got those precious moments that you can just never recapture where sometimes my daughter, you know how they like to sneak out of their room and come and snuggle in your bed? My 5-year-old likes to come down and sleep in the dog bed with our oldest dog. He's a great cuddle bug. So it can be great. But yeah, there's a lot of to consider when it comes to, and also the time commitment, in the sense that you are taking this dog into your life, mm-hmm. and they live 10, 12, 15 years, sometimes longer now. Mm-hmm. And so that is a huge commitment. So don't just mm-hmm. think about like, well, what do we want a dog now in our lifestyle? But what's your lifestyle going to be in 5 years or 10 years? Mm-hmm. And it makes a big difference on where you live, apartment.
Yeah.
Does the dog breed that you're getting need 10 acres to roam on? Because it's mm-hmm. a livestock guardian. You know, is it going to make a great apartment dog? So it could, it could make some issues too. You're renting, are you buying?
Yeah.
So there's some breeds on restricted lists that you can't go to an apartment, you can't rent. And, you know, times are tough these days. So imagine you're struggling and you've already taken this dog on, and it's a German Shepherd, right? Another great American dog. But you go to rent, and you can't. You want to go on vacation. Yeah. What are you going to do with the dog?
Yeah.
So lots of questions.
Yeah. So it sounds like you really need to do your research.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I had a friend who got a dog, and it wasn't necessarily her idea. Her husband brought it home one day, and she did the research, and she's like, my kids will graduate high school and college, and I will still have this dog. It lives that long. Like, she was like, let's put this into perspective. And that's not something that they had considered. They felt like their kids are old enough to take care of the dog, but then they didn't realize, okay, 6 years from now, they're gone. Our kids won't be here. Who's taking care of the dog? And are we going to have that lifestyle that we wanted, that we said we wanted when we became empty nesters? And so really looking forward towards the future is, I think, really important as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So what fundamental principles do you believe every dog owner should understand when starting the training process with their pet?
Killer question. Another one. All of these questions are great. It starts not day one, but minute one. We get that question so much. When should I start training my dog or puppy? Immediately. In fact, you should start considering training and get up to speed on training even before you get the dog or puppy, because the moment it comes home, it's starting to learn pattern recognition. Dogs are unbelievably, that's the word I'm looking for, they are extremely habitual animals. Mm-hmm. They love their habits and routines. And that's all training is setting them up to have proper habits and routines. I'll just give mm-hmm. you one basic example. We've all seen it, whether it's our own personal dogs or you go to a family member or friend's house and you come in the front door, and what is the dog doing? Usually it's jumping all up in your face, whether, you know, it's licking or who knows what it's, maybe barking. There's some dogs out there that, oh, it's just what he does. He's just going to bite mm-hmm. on your ankle for a little bit till he gets to know you. And it's just what they do. Well, we have a say in what they do. And so we can shape that behavior on whether they sit and wait politely or they shoot out your front door and about rip your arm out of its socket every time you go for a walk. That's all dog training really is about setting up routines and behaviors. And honestly, the dog doesn't have a preference, right? But we can shape the preference Mm-hmm. We can let them know. And I'll just give you an example. Why dogs jump is because, and I'm just as guilty. We have puppies in our program constantly. We've got these cute little puppies that you just can't say no to. And what do? They jump up for attention. And as soon as they jump up, we pet them, we sweet talk them, we pick them up, we feed them, because we're rewarding that behavior. Mm. Well, that behavior doesn't go extinct on its own. At this very young foundational age, we just taught the puppy that jumping gets you what you want. Now, by the way, the puppies we have in our program right now are Italian Mastiffs, also known as Cane Corsos. They are, no one would say no to these. They are ridiculously cute. They're also going to be about 140 pounds when they're all said and done. We cannot have a 140 pound dog thinking it's okay to jump on anyone. They can seriously hurt someone without even trying. And so instead, at this young age, we are letting the puppy know on a foundational level, when you jump on me, you don't get anything. I'm not mad at you. You just, and they figure it out very quickly.
Yeah.
They jump, and they're like, I mean, and when I mean quickly, I mean in about 5 seconds, they go, well, that doesn't get me what I want. As soon as they sit, we mark and we pay and we go, that's what we're paying you for. Mm-hmm. And now the dog learns, this will come later. How does that play out when they're 2 years old and 140 pounds? Knock at the door, your grandma comes in the door, and the dog is sitting there waiting, loving. It's like, I must sit because that's what gets grandma to pet me. They just know it instinctually. And that's the habit that we set up. One of millions of examples of the type of habits that we're going to set up for them at a young age. So habits and consistency and routines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as a former canine handler and your extensive experience, have you brought any insights into the training that you do now? Are there different principles? Are they the same principles? Do you have secret weapons because you had that experience beforehand?
Yes. So I think what we bring to the world of pet training that not a lot of the other pet trainers are bringing is our background in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And I say we because I have certified trainers, and most of my certified trainers are current or former police canine handlers and trainers. And if I had to surmise it, it's the standard, right? Mm-hmm. We cannot afford in the law enforcement world to have a dog fail us on the street. Literally, lives are on the line. And so when we ask a dog to recall, that dog has to recall. They can be considered like a loaded weapon. We got an 85-pound plus Belgian Malinois running full speed after an offender. And that offender could be a murder suspect. It could be armed with a firearm. They could have just killed somebody, whatever it is. And so many things could happen. At the blink of an eye, things could change. Maybe the guy stops and gives up, and the dog is 10 feet from blasting him. We have to recall that dog immediately. Maybe it's on a bite, and the guy is now giving up. We have to get that dog off now. Every second that dog stays doing what is, you know, yes, it's like on and off like a light switch. Thank you for doing your job. Now please let go. Because every moment that dog stays on the bite, you're looking at, we jokingly say like, oh, there's another $10,000 on that lawsuit. And what about when, because they're dogs, they're not robots, they're not perfect, they're animals, they make mistakes, just as we as humans make mistakes all the time. What if you release the dog to go bite the bad guy and it starts chasing after the person walking across the street with the stroller? Because sometimes they don't know, so we have to be able to stop them in their tracks. And so what I'm getting at is, there's a very high standard in that world, in that profession, and there's just no excuses. You have to grind at it every day. And where maybe others would be like, well, it's okay if the dog pulls a little bit, I'm okay with that. I'm like, well, why are you okay with that? Why don't we just, the dog can do better. That's where I'm constantly at. The dog can do better. They will rise to the level that you set. They absolutely will. And I know what these dogs are capable of. And that, I get asked this a lot. It's kind of a synonymous question. What's the difference between a pet dog and a police dog? Nothing. They don't know. A police dog doesn't know it's a police dog, just like a pet dog doesn't know it's not a police dog. They're just dogs. The only real difference is their level of drive. But there are pet dogs out there with just as much drive as a police dog. And by drive, I mean their desire for food, to chase a ball. We call it prey drive, right? Some of you have dogs out there, they see a squirrel and they just go bananas. So there's different levels of drives, and there's different types of drives, but all dogs have drive, just how much. And so we call it horsepower. But my point being, how we channel that. And if you don't want your dog to chase after that squirrel because your five-year-old's walking the dog, then we should be able to, at the snap of a finger, just tell the dog, no, don't do that. Or just set up the habit that you don't pull on the leash ever. And so I'm kind of saying it 20 different ways, but I think people give up very early. And I don't mean just owners. I mean trainers. And they're like, well, it's good enough. I'm like, good enough for who? Why don't we just ask for more? We can always ask for, the dogs can do so much more. And it really doesn't take that much work to have them achieve what it is that we want. If we don't want them to pull on the leash, they don't need to pull on the leash. And it's so easy to fix. If we don't want them to shoot out the front door and, God forbid, run out in the street and get hit by a car, then we'd fix that. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, when I come into the pet world, and maybe this is why we've had so much success, is because we push, you know, regular pet dogs to achieve levels that you've only ever seen in videos with police dogs and military dogs. Mm-hmm. And I just, we've gotten every breed that you can imagine to do very high levels of obedience and enjoy doing it in the process is, I think, the big difference too. Because if they're not enjoying it, then what's the purpose?
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Now I do know some pet owners that just, they're completely satisfied with the dog not really listening. And they really don't have any control over the dog. And quite frankly, they become the homes that you don't want to go to because you don't want to deal with the dog.
Tell me about
it. Especially if you have younger children. You're like, I just don't feel like dealing with that. Yeah. And so I love that approach, actually. Yep. It's amazing. Okay, so your mission is to create the most powerful pack of dog owner trainers on the planet. Okay, so tell us a little bit more about that. That sounds pretty exciting and powerful.
Sure. So we actually coined that term, at least as far as I know, and we're using it more, though it's a little confusing. Owner trainers. So what is that? Mm-hmm. Every owner needs to be the trainer of their own dog, period. Hey, just like every parent needs to be a parent, you know? It's just there's not a word for that, I don't think. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a given. If you're a parent, that, it's not an easy word. Well, what does it truly mean to be the parent? Does it mean you just birthed the child? Or does it mean you're there to care for them and raise them and train them and educate mm-hmm. all of that? And so when we speak of like, you're a dog owner, well, what does that mean? Well, yeah, you own it. You went to the store and you bought it. Good for you. Now what? We have to be owner trainers. We have to have that consistency. And so we are worldwide at this point with our online courses. And every day we talk about it in our meetings. We have an actual chat thread specifically dedicated to like wins, if you will. And we just love seeing the reviews come in from all over the world. We have them from all over. And we're actually going to do this on our website. We haven't done it yet. We want to get a world map and just put little pins where all of our customers are to let everybody know. It doesn't matter if you're in India, if you're in Dubai, South Africa, Austria, everywhere. We're all dealing with the same problems, right? We all got the same dogs and they all act the same way. They pull just as hard in India as they do in the US or wherever you might be. So we're trying to make it, one day this may happen. For me, it's job security. When I'm driving or wherever I am at the mall or at a park, where do you see dogs everywhere? And of course, my eye is drawn to them. And I look and I see nothing but out of control dogs everywhere I look. It is so rare for me to be like, that guy or gal has it. And when they do, you see me coming over like a fan. I'm like, who trained your dog? Oh, you did it yourself? That's amazing. How well behaved is it? What tools are you using? But that's 1 out of 100. The other 99, I'm like, oh my God. But it's sad, but at the same time, I'm like, well, it's job security for me. Job security, because that dog's need training. That dog, it's so funny because I didn't teach my kids this, but they've now that they've been around well-behaved dogs, my 7-year-old does it all the time. She goes, she's very polite about it. She goes, whispers in my ear, Daddy, that dog is horrible. I'm like, it is, you're right. Because it's pulling on the leash, it's barking at other dogs, it's being leash reactive, it's on the wrong equipment. And I'm like, you're right, honey. And it's like, it doesn't need to be that way. So one day, maybe I'll be driving around. I don't know if it's 50 years from now, but I'll be like, maybe it'll be 99 out of the 100 dogs are like, yep, well behaved. Yep. Walking nicely. Yep.
So are you saying that when we go to the park and the dogs are constantly like pulling on each other and the owners are constantly tugging them away from another dog, that that's not, it's not, I want to say normal, but it doesn't need to be that way.
And it's so funny you brought that up. I wish I could share this somehow. Maybe there's a way. We just got a story on our Instagram where they tagged us in it. You know, one of our success stories or whatever. Don't ask for it. They just pop up.
Yeah.
And it says, and I don't even want to misquote it. Maybe I can pull it up while I'm talking to you, just so I don't want to misquote it. But what it is a father. I might be able to just put this up on the screen. It says, the title of this video is Disparity Between a Trained Dog Controlled by an 8-year-old and an Untrained Dog. And you can't script this stuff. This guy just, the father happened to capture this moment perfectly. And it's the 8-year-old walking some kind of park. She's walking from the background up with a dog that's twice her size, and it's in a perfect heel. And right off to the side is an older gentleman, about 60 years old, with the same size dog on a harness, jumping up and almost knocking children over. And it's just in the same shot. And I must have watched it 10 times. Like, this is amazing.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just showing what's happening there doesn't need to happen. And the owner, the older gentleman, is like, basically pleading with the dog, please stop jumping. Don't do it. Don't do it. The dog's not being mean.
Right.
It's just like literally untrained dog, out of control, stressful, trying not to get the dog to jump up and hurt the kids. And here is a child walking a huge dog right by this other high energy dog.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog's looking at it. I think even the well-trained dog's going like, you don't got it, dude. You don't understand what's going on here.
Yeah.
So I love that. I love that. I think, we are maybe have been dealing with these bad behaviors for so long that we think it's just normal, but it's really not. It doesn't need to be that way.
Yeah. Okay. So which leads me to my next question, but it's almost answered it. Like, what are some common misconceptions about dog behavior? Because that seems to me like one of those things that I didn't know. I'm not a dog owner, but I have several friends that have dogs, that's just normal. Like, that's just something annoying part of having a dog is that you're always going to walk in and worry about it chasing after other dogs. And then you've got to like walk off into the street because you can't walk on the same sidewalk as another dog. Like, I just thought that that was normal. So like, what are some other misconceptions that we might have about dog behavior?
Sure. I think maybe it all comes to, I'll just try to teach something if I may. Mm-hmm. And that's that every dog on the planet needs a job to do. They were actually bred to do work. If we go back just 100 years ago, maybe 150 years ago, folks didn't have dogs as a novelty.
Mm-hmm.
We had dogs to hunt, livestock guard, to pull carts, right? This is before we had vehicles. Dogs were actually used like as a supplement to horses to do work on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where those drives came from. The drive to, if you want to call it, please their owners,
mm-hmm.
Literally like the carrot on the end of a stick type of thing. Like, the dogs were working towards goals. And then what ends up happening is, I guess you'd call it gentrification, or most of us aren't working on farms now. We live in the city, and now we have places like the AKC that we're showing dogs, and we want the prettiest dog. And we forget that Rottweiler looks so cute in the window, which is, I love Rottweiler. I love all dogs, really. That dog is a farm dog. That's a working dog. The German Shepherd is a livestock guardian prepared to do battle with a wolf or a pack of wolves to defend its flock. And you just brought that dog into your suburban neighborhood. And here's the question. What's that dog's job now? And if you were to ask all these owners where their dog's pulling them on the leash, I'm like, hey, by the way, what did you get that dog for? Like, what's its purpose in life right now? Cuddle on the couch, which I'm all about. It's my favorite thing to do with my personal dog. We have to fulfill their natural drive to do something. And so what is that? You don't live on a farm? You don't have a cart for them to pull? I get that. Give them a different job. What could it be? Sit and wait at the door politely. That's your job. You're a maitre d'.
Mm-hmm.
When I recall you, that's another job that you have to be very good at. And if you do good, I will pay you. If you don't do good, we're going to fix it because you can do better. And so I often teach our clients, try to run your home. Think of it as a bar and a restaurant, as best you can, just for the sake of argument. Who's the owner of the bar, and who's the manager, and who's the maitre d'? We have a misalignment in most, whenever I see an issue with a dog, especially when we talk about leash reactivity or a dog that's, quote, aggressive, it's a misalignment where the dog is in the wrong job. the dog thinks it's the owner of that restaurant. Like, I cannot wait till Elon Musk gets the Neuralink for dogs and we can say, hey, Fido, who's acting out of control, by the way, barking and charging at the front door, trying to bite people, not listening to anybody in the household. Hey, Fido, who owns this house? Oh, I do. Okay, who's that lady over there? Oh, she works for me. She feeds me and gives me belly rubs. What about the guy there? I don't know. He's not very involved. I don't know why he's even here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We have to remind the dogs. And again, this is sometimes, I don't even know why it's controversial. It shouldn't be. But there is such a thing as a pack dynamic and a hierarchy. And we need to let the dog know where it is on the pack. And mm-hmm. and ultimately going back to just give the dog a job to do. What could that be? Playing fetch. That's a job. A downstay on a placeboard while you're cooking dinner. Going mm-hmm. in and out of the crate without walking perfectly on a leash. That's your mm-hmm. job. And then there's a time, like we call it like a cigarette break, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. You're off the job. Chase the squirrel. Run around the back. Dig a hole. I don't even care. You're off mm-hmm. the job.
That's good.
Have a great time. Free time. Oh, here comes the delivery driver. I don't want you to scare him. Break time's over. Recall. Downstay. Good job. You know what I mean? On and off the job. And they thrive. You give a little bit of structure to a dog, man, all that anxiety goes out the window. They become confident. And it's like, because they're panicking. A lot of these dogs that have leash reactivity, they're panicking because you've put them in a scenario where there's no leadership. They don't know how to do what job to do. And so they actually think their job is to pull as hard as they can on the leash. Watch me pull. This is what I'm good at. And they get better at it, which makes our life worse. They get better at jumping on people. They get better at tearing up your carpet because mm-hmm. it's the job they rehearsed because you didn't put a good job in place. They'll find a job to do. It's mm-hmm. just, what's that job going to be? Mm-hmm. They'll become a master at digging in your backyard if you don't give them something. So you know me, I could talk forever about dog stuff. This is just what we do every day.
Yeah, no, that's great. I love that understanding of like the cigarette break. Like, it's not like they shouldn't be chasing squirrels and you don't want them to ever chase a squirrel. It's that when they are in their purpose and they're doing their work, that's what they need to do. And then go do everything else. And I also like just the parallels with, you know, a lot of the stuff that I talk about has to do with purpose. Your life is radically different when you're operating from a place of purpose and you understand what your purpose is as a family, as a person, as an individual. I mean, people even live longer when they understand their purpose. And so a dog needs that as well. That's awesome. I mean, that's something that I did not know. And I think it makes total sense.
So much more fulfilling for them. And I think the parallels between raising and training a dog and raising and not training your child, but,
mm-hmm. but yeah,
it's very similar, right? Mm-hmm. Your kids can't be at a free for all 24/7. They got to sit down and do their homework. They got to do their chores. They got to clean mm-hmm. their room. Oh, you want to go play with Johnny? Yeah. Go have a great time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's dinner time. Sorry. Can't play with Johnny anymore. Now you have to sit politely at the table. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Or help set the table. You have responsibilities.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And reward them for that and reward them.
Yeah.
Because they could either be setting the table or they could be drawing on the table with crayons, you know, exactly. You got to fill that time up with something.
I mean, it sounds like just like parenting, that training a dog is an ongoing process. It's not a one and done deal. And I think a lot of dog owners think that that's the case. Those first couple of weeks when training's done. Is that correct? Is that what you see?
Yeah. Killer question again. Simply put, I'll make it very simple if I can. Mm-hmm. To train your dog on a new task only requires around 5 to 15 minutes a day. Maybe up to 30 minutes. And we focus that usually around feeding time because mm-hmm. that's the way we can transact with them. One piece of kibble is $1, if you will, or treats, whatever you want to use. But they usually eat twice a day, puppies sometimes 3 times a day. Use that as your training opportunity, kind of like when your kid does homework for 15 minutes. You teach them how to do their ABCs or spell words. That's where we're at with our kids right now, right? Their sight words and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We're not doing sight words 12 hours a day. No, we'll do it. They're 5 and 7 years old and it's a dog. They don't have a lot of patience. 5, 10, 15 minutes. That's all you need to train your dog to be amazing. Mm-hmm. High speed, attention healing off leash. 5 to 10, 15 minutes a day, maybe twice a day if you want to do bonus points. Then the rest of the time outside of that is training. So what? I thought you just said it's 5 to 10, 15 minutes to teach them something new. The rest of the day is just being consistent. Meaning, you may, and I'll just give you the example. At the front door, it literally only takes, especially if someone knows what they're doing, less than 5 minutes to teach a dog to stop shooting out a front door. Just stop doing that. and we show them a new way. We teach them instead, like I said, give them a job. Your job isn't to shoot out anymore. Your job is now to sit and wait for a treat. And they get very good at that job. Now, to teach them how to do that, 5 minutes. Now, going forward, though, every time you go out the front door, just make sure you hold them to that standard, because they like to slip into their old ways. That's all. They just like, dogs are very, I wouldn't say lazy, but they like shortcuts. They love shortcuts. So if they can find a hole in the system, they will. And dogs are great at that. We don't give them enough credit for how smart they are. Mm-hmm. But they know. I'm telling you, here's something else, another myth. If the, and I'm just going to use this as an example. If we have a husband and wife, because I see it all the time. If the wife is the maybe the more stern one, the more on point, the dog knows when she grabs the leash, she will not hook the leash up and go out that front door until the dog maintains a sit stay. Mm-hmm. And that dog will perfect that with her. And then when the husband comes and does it, they know. They go, oh, it's you.
That's just like parenting.
It's the same. You see it happen instantly where we can have, and I always use like, it doesn't matter, but you can kind of tell who's wearing the pants in the family, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It's not a guy girl thing. It's just who's in charge. Yeah. And the wife might be walking the dog on a leash and it's amazing. And as soon as you hand the leash off to say the husband or the partner, the dog looks up at the leash and goes, ah, it's you. I can get away with X, Y, and Z. And they, I mean, instantly. So they're very smart. They know who's in charge and they know who will hold them accountable. And what, that's the trick though. Once they know you'll hold them accountable, it's not even work anymore. Mm-hmm. They're on autopilot. So that's the idea.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to ask you for one tip as we wrap up. A lot of people bought dogs during the pandemic. And I think this has been happening already, although I'm really starting to hear of it recently. We went from now you have to be back in the office to now you have to be back. Like then you could go back 3 days. And now a lot of my friends are being hit with the, I have to be back 5 days. Wow. So what are your tips for transitioning dogs out of a scenario where they are with you all the time to now family life looks quite different?
Wow, that's a tough one. Well, hopefully at this point, now that we're out of the pandemic, you know, a couple of years, these dogs are old enough that they can be left home alone for extended periods of time. The trick there, though, is to, you know, try to fill their morning or their evenings up with not just physical exertion, like that nice long walk, but the mental games too. The mental games will tire them out. And what's the best way to do that? Again, back to the training. And training can be so fun. It's like I put my music in and it's just me and the dog and we just have a party and the dog loves it. And then you achieve some small goal. Like, hey, at the end of this 10-minute training session, I'm going to teach you to roll over, whatever it might be. And the dog's like, oh, what do you want? It's like a game of almost like charades, I think would be, and I've never thought of it this way, but it's like, you have something you want to teach them. They know there's some puzzle that they must unlock. And you make these small little steps that we call them breakthroughs. And still to this day, when I have a breakthrough, multiple breakthroughs with a puppy at any stage of the game, that's what it's all about. So have those moments with your dog. And a lot of places will let you bring your dog to work, especially if it's well-behaved. They love that. And I love going into places where you walk in and there's a wow, this is a type of place that you can bring your dog to work. And they'll be hard pressed to say no when that dog is acting just amazing. And that's where we started this whole conversation. There's such a huge difference between an untrained dog.
Yeah.
Or like we said, that 8-year-old walking this dog perfectly in a hugely high distracted environment. That's the type of dog you can bring anywhere. And that's something maybe we could strive for. If that dog's behaving perfectly, why wouldn't they allow you to bring a dog with you?
Yeah. It sounds like from what you, how you just described is that really training is quality time between an owner and a dog. And I feel like so many people look at it as work, like it's an annoyance or just something that needs to be done. But really the way you just described, like, you know, we'll spend some time together. You listen to me and I'll teach you something new, you know, like that's a way that you can spend quality time. It's, you know, another perspective shift. It shouldn't be viewed as something I need to check off the box because now I own a dog, but that's that in and of itself is where the goal is of spending time with your dog.
Yep.
And I would say that's very similar again with parenthood. It's like I have people that sort of bemoan the training or the coaching or like walking our kids through like really hard stuff, but that's where the relationships is developed and that's where trust is built. And it sounds like it might be the same here.
Absolutely. And I think what a lot of our customers enjoy is that pride of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And where, because again, you got to walk your dog. Let's just call it that.
Mm-hmm.
You could either do it like the horrible way, day in and day out for the next 10, 12, 15 years, or it can be the most rewarding thing where you, it's on autopilot. The dog's just walking beautifully and mm-hmm. people are stopping and asking you, where did you get your dog trained? It's like, oh, I did it myself. Well, how'd you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Online courses or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know what you're doing and you have someone showing you how, we take mm-hmm. all the frustration out of it
mm-hmm.
and you gamify it and we make it fun and rewarding. Mm-hmm. And it's just a win-win across the board for the dog, the family, you, everything.
Okay. So as we wrap up, just tell us a little bit about your training course.
Absolutely. So our company is called American Standard Dog Training. That's where we specialize in VIP boarding and training for our high-end clients, VIP CEOs, entrepreneurs, athletes, all of that. But then not everyone can afford our board and train services. And so that is where we started our amazing online course. It's called DIYK9.com. So that's the letter K, the number 9. And it's what it's all about. We show you how to train your own dog by following along with the exact same training that we do for our $20,000 plus board and train programs, because our clients' dogs are the ones featured in the videos. And we take you step by step by step and show you everything from just puppy essentials, which is the potty training, crate training, puppy manners and biting, all the way up to basic and advanced obedience and beyond. Now, some folks have even taken our courses, got so good at training their personal dogs, and they train their neighbor's dogs, they got addicted to it. Now they're professional dog trainers just from taking our courses. But it's no surprise, because we're professional dog trainers and we mm-hmm. don't hold anything back. I give and I give and I, mm-hmm. and we never stop giving, because that is our mission, to make sure that we, no matter where you are in the world, no matter what type, age, breed of dog you have, we're going to help take you across the finish line and achieve things beyond what you could ever expect your dog to do. And even if that's just being able to go for a walk without getting your arm pulled out of your socket, and we can achieve all of that and more. And so DIY Canine's where it's at. And the other thing that makes our courses amazing is, again, those board and train programs, $4,000 to $6,000 and up. Our top tier course is $1,500. And I guarantee you, if you follow along with our courses, our top tier course, your dog will be better trained than had you sent it to a $4,000 or $6,000 board and train program.
Mm-hmm.
And you will become that owner trainer that we talked about. Because I say this too, and it's a little warning and caution for your folks out there. I don't care where you send your dog for training. You could spend $20,000, whatever. If you don't know how to maintain that, your dog will revert in about 48 hours. No joke. Okay. I could train your dog, but that's what makes our program different, by the way,
mm-hmm.
is we are kind of fanatical about, once we finish training a dog, we spend days, not 30 minutes, not 1 hour, days working with the whole family to make them owner trainer, so that the dog not only maintains how good he is at the end of our program, but improves for the life of the dog. So that's the name of the game.
Wow. I love that. I love that you just don't stop with training the dog, but you move on and teach the family.
Yeah. When do you stop parenting your children? When? I'm 40
yet.
Years old and my father still tells me, you know, we have our conversations. Garrett, make sure your seatbelt's on. I'm like, yeah, thank you.
Yep. Text me when you get back. Text me when you get home.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, this was incredible. I learned a lot. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you so much again for the opportunity.
You can find Garrett at DIYK9.com. He's on Facebook and Instagram as American Standard Canine. I'll link to all of that in the show notes. I hope you've enjoyed the show. If so, I'd like to ask a favor. Can you head over to iTunes and leave us a review? Besides sharing this podcast with your friends, leaving a review is one of the most effective ways that you can support us and help get the word out about the incredible resources we have to offer. I'm passionate about helping families thrive, and your reviews help families find us. And remember, family culture isn't about perfect, it's about purpose.